Alrighty, gang. Here's to nights that turn into mornings and friends that turn into family. Cheers!
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Friendship IRL podcast. I'm your host, Alex Alexander, and each week we explore what's working and what's not in our friendships, community, and connections. Have you ever wished you could sit down and have a conversation about what is really going on in your friendships? Well, you've found your people. Join us as we dive into real-life stories and explore new ways to approach these connections. Together, we're reimagining the rules of friendship. Hey, friend. Today we're doing that thing where it's just you and me hanging out, and I'm recording what I think is just a casual, chill topic, a little episode for you. But now that I'm sitting here in front of the microphone, I'm realizing that, as I said before, sometimes these simple concepts have the most impact. And I know that today's topic has had a huge impact on me. So today I want to talk about our self-talk, like that inner dialogue we have when we are connecting with people. I've been really paying attention to my self-talk lately. And if there's anything you take away from this episode today, it's that I hope you start paying attention to your self-talk. Because I really do think it is make or break, honestly, for a lot of us in how we're connecting. I think it's a huge difference in the people that feel like friendship is possible and the people who feel like friendship is impossible. So what do I mean by that? Well, I've mentioned before that I think our brain plays tricks on us. We all know that feeling where we are going to go into a room where we don't know anybody. Maybe it's a party and you're walking in and your brain is just like, turn around and leave, turn around and leave, run, 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 run. And we have to push through that. We have to walk into the room. We have to say hello to that first person, even though it feels so awkward. But there's also the self-talk that happens as we're in the interaction, as we're talking to someone and we are analyzing every single thing we're saying, how they're interacting, how they're taking this conversation. And then there's the self-talk when we walk away where we're like, oh my gosh, I said the dumbest thing. I am so embarrassed I said that, or I was so awkward. And except for few and far between interactions, I can't think of a time where I've ever said that to another friend. Like, why am I saying that to myself? I would never say that to somebody else. I'd probably say like, oh, well, if they were like, I was so awkward, I'd probably be like, yeah, it was kind of awkward, but you're okay. I think they really enjoyed hearing about your love of birding, I don't know, whatever topic you were talking about. But we don't do that for ourselves. And I think there's a lot of talk out there about the way we're talking to ourselves when it comes to maybe our bodies, right? The body positivity movement, or when it comes to career, right? The self-talk we have about asking for that promotion or putting ourselves in the room or speaking up. But we are all having interactions with friends or acquaintances or community or family. We're having these connection interactions nonstop throughout our day. So if that self-talk is so mean, no wonder so many of us have ended up labeling ourselves as certain things. Because I think that's what happens is after we've berated ourselves enough, we end up in this place where we've given ourselves a label, right? I'm a bad friend. I'm awkward. I'm terrible at small talk. I am not good at showing up. I'm not good at being there for our friends. Like, we give ourselves these labels. We assume this versus saying like that interaction was awkward. We say, I am awkward. especially when we are regularly saying unkind things to ourselves after every social interaction. That really piles on. That's a heavy weight to carry. Now, I have had some of you tell me that when you either, you know, maybe you're going into the party, you're taking that initial risk, your brain is telling you to run, or when you've had an awkward interaction, so many of you are imagining what I would say to you. And I want to tell you that I am more than happy to be your cheerleader anytime, whatever it takes, right? Because sometimes if you had a close, trusted friend there and you had that awkward interaction and you admitted that was so awkward, they would do what I mentioned earlier. They would say, it's okay. I'm sorry you feel awkward, but like, it's okay. You're going to be okay. So if you need to picture me doing that for you, I am more than happy to do that. And I will mention, I'll put a link in the show notes. I don't know what this link will be to at the time of recording this, but I am working on something for all of you. For anybody who's picturing me on your shoulder telling you, you got this, I'm working on something for you. I already know what it is, but I don't want to jinx it. So head to the show notes and sign up with whatever link I come up with. If you're listening to this, by the time I've released this product, then that link will take you to the product itself. Okay. Today, this self-talk theme keeps coming up because I have been reflecting on my own self-talk, and I have three stories I want to tell you that are real stories, just put more of my life out here for you, about how I'm noticing my self-talk. And I think that this is key, right? If you want to change your self-talk, that's great. But the first step is just being aware of it. It's starting to notice it and starting to acknowledge the reality of what is, right? Is it kind? Is it mean? And so that's really, I think, where I am. I have noticed I have some pretty good self-talk some of the time, you'll hear in these stories. And other times, I am quite mean to myself. And so instead of, again, beating myself up, I'm just trying to acknowledge that. I'm trying to notice where that comes up, where I can be kinder to myself, where I can even just notice it in the beginning and then stop, like silence. I don't need to switch it to positive, but just stop the mean talk is another thing I'm noticing. So the first story I want to tell you today, gosh, okay, here we go. I'm not actually that nervous. It's just this wild thing about recording with this microphone. It lives forever. I can see when you all go back and listen. Like, I know that somebody 3 years from now is going to go listen to these stories. That's okay. It's worth it. So the first story I want to tell you is about a brand new interaction with someone I've never met before. And I'm not going to say names, especially with this person, because the thing about this person is I'm likely going to have to interact with her again. This is a work-related interaction in one facet of my business. And she's in the industry. Like, I probably will connect with her again at some point. So I was pretty excited about this connection. I was just like looking forward to meeting her. I've heard of her before. Thought it was going to be great. Normally, I'm pretty okay with meeting people. I can figure it out. I can work my way through this interaction. And when I tell you that this was a runaway train, it was so bad. It was so bad. So I met her, and because we have this like work type relationship, we kind of pre-discussed via email how we were going to work together and what I was doing for her and what she was doing for me. And we had figured out this kind of like reciprocal situation. We start talking. Okay, I can't talk about it. She's on the podcast. Good luck figuring out which episode this is. I'm not going to tell you, but we get on to record this podcast episode so you all can hear this. And when I tell you I was having an off day, my insomnia had snuck up the night before. I was a little nervous about recording this episode because I thought it was an important one. I just completely lost it. Like, I was trying to talk to her, to have this conversation. And at a certain point, I actually just stopped talking and stared off into space because I was so embarrassed by this interaction. And in my head, like, this is recorded. I should go back and watch what I do, because in my head, I was just lobbing profanities at myself, lobbing missiles at myself. Like, I was so mean. In my head, I was just like, you have completely failed this interaction. She's never going to want to speak to you again. You're a laughing stock. There's no way you can come back from this. I mean, I was just saying mean stuff to myself. And the thing is, I'm still in the interaction when this is happening. So of course, she's asking now, like, are you okay? What's happening? What's going through your head? And I just want to curl up in a ball, to be quite frank. I want to be like, I'm so sorry I've wasted, at this point, probably 15 minutes of your time. This is not going to work out. I'm going to run and hide every time I ever see you ever again. And it didn't go well. It didn't go well. I was so mean to myself. I managed to get it back together, finish recording. But even looking back on this recording, I have no facial expressions. I look completely out of it. And that's because I'm so in my head the entire time, just being so mean to myself for the remainder of this entire conversation, which probably didn't make it a very great interaction for her. So we get off the recording. I'm so embarrassed that I cry. I cry about it. I mean, partially I'm upset about the work piece of the interaction, but I'm also just like, wow, Alex, normally you're pretty good at this. What the heck happened today? Why could you not get it together? Why couldn't you recover? This is, I mean, I'm saying all sorts of mean stuff to myself. So I cried out for 10 minutes. I don't know. Go on a little walk. And I had to come in and pretend I was on my own shoulder. I had to remove myself from the situation a little bit, pretend. I think I actually said to myself, like, if I had just witnessed that between someone else, what would I say to them? That's what I had to do. So what I ended up saying to myself was, well, that happened. That happened. That is what it is. And we don't need to make the best first impression. I know that the world tells you that we always need to put our best foot forward and people just click. But I know, right? I had to remind myself, like, I know for a fact that I have multiple friendships I have developed where we did not click initially. It was a matter of time for us to figure it out. So if this woman and I are meant to be connected, if we are meant to be any sort of friends or business friends or whatever it is, then we will look back, if we get there, on this interaction and laugh about the time that I was a complete mess when we first met. And if we never get there, if I am forever the awkward one every time we ever interact, then that just is what it is. I'm okay. I will survive. I will be fine. I have made plenty of other okay first impressions that I know, right? I'm not going to label myself as bad at meeting people, or I'm not awkward. Like, this situation was awkward. I wasn't running at full capacity. I was coming off a bout of insomnia. I was having a bad day. But like, I am not bad. I was having a bad day, and that is different. But when I tell you, I really had to talk myself down. I had to recognize how mean I had just been to myself. And I had to sit with the fact that that was a really terrible hour, only to then have to pretend that this was like a completely neutral situation. And what I, me, level-headed me, not triggered, want to crawl into a hole me, would say to two people that just had that interaction. So that was my first one. That was my first story for you. And it, that one, when I reflect back on it, right, is like, I was not kind to myself in the moment. And I was so caught up in it during, like, I couldn't when I said earlier, like notice and try and just go neutral, try and silence it. Don't try and switch it. I was so in the moment. There was no way I was able to do that. There was no way 20 minutes into this thing I could pull back and be neutral. I was just straight up mean to myself for an hour and a half, you know, more time past the recording even. And now, after the fact, I can notice. And maybe next time that happens, because I am sure there will be a next time, I'm positive that's not the last time that'll happen to me. Maybe the progress is that I can notice in the middle of it happening and I can try and go neutral. That would be progress. We're not even trying to get positive. Like maybe at some point I can switch it to the positive, but I'm not there yet. Okay. The next story is about a woman that I met. We hit it off. I tried to connect with her after the fact and I was ghosted. So to tell you a little deeper, this is, again, somebody I met at some work-related events. She was delightful. There was like a series of events. So we met many times and we really hit it off. There were a variety of people that were at these events each time, and her and I really clicked. I thought like we got along great. We were chatting about places where we might see each other again. And I just really enjoyed her. I really enjoyed her. I thought she was delightful. So after this series of events is over, after our many interactions together, we had followed each other on social media. We were like commenting back and forth and DMing. So we're a couple months in at this point, but I have no idea. The series of events is over. I have no idea when I'm going to see her again somewhere. I do think work-wise, we're probably going to run into each other again. This will probably not be the last time, which is important for you to know as I tell you this story. But I just really enjoyed her. So I did what I talk about doing on the podcast, and I messaged her directly and I said, hey, I think it'd be really fun to get together. Now, I currently don't have any kids. She is a mom. So I understand that time is precious. And there just feels like maybe there's, you know, this like lack of alignment a little bit of like how, if we did become friends, this would work as a new friend. Like I know how this works with my established friends. We figured that out, but it's a lot of vulnerability to let someone in. I get that. So I tried to accommodate. I tried to be like, hey, I know that you're really busy with your kids. So what if I came over and we went on a walk? Or we met at a local park. You know, I was like, if you can or want to get away, we could totally meet up just the two of us. But in my mind, I was like, I think that that's really unlikely from what I know of her life. So I was trying to make it work. And she never responded. I got ghosted. And that's okay, right? This is that place where I think I did better with my self-talk this time, where I could have said, she doesn't like me or something's wrong with me. But I didn't say any of that. What I said was, well, it already was kind of a long shot that we were going to be able to find time to connect. She lives a very busy life. She's got a lot going on. Maybe she just doesn't have capacity right now, right? And I'm not trying to make excuses for her. I'm just trying to remove myself, right? Like I'm not the problem here. Maybe like there is a chance, I guess, that even though we had all this whole string of pleasant interactions, maybe I'm the problem, but I'm trying to remind myself that the chances of that, the chances that it's actually me that she didn't like are low. Sure. Maybe it's 5%, 10%. But what is more likely is that something about our circumstances just didn't feel like it lined up. And that's what I told myself when days, weeks later, there was no response. And I just had to accept that I'd put myself out there and it wasn't going to go anywhere. Come to find out later, I don't know, maybe a month, 2 months later, she's moving. So that could be another reason. Maybe she... Well, honestly, I mean, moving, we all know, completely uproots your life. throws everything out of whack. Maybe she had already known at that point and just didn't have the capacity. Now, could she have messaged me and told me these things? Yeah, but we've only met a few times. We don't really know each other. I could have just fallen into the bottom of the DMs, or maybe she just felt awkward about it. Maybe she really would have enjoyed hanging out, but she didn't know how to turn me down. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and it doesn't really matter. The whole point is that, again, I kind of removed myself from the situation and looked at it, and I looked at what I would say if it was you and this gal I was talking to, instead of letting myself get up, caught up in negative self-talk. That one I think I did much better. That one I think I was able to remove myself pretty quickly and have better self-talk. That probably has something to do with the fact that I wasn't standing in front of her, right? If I had been standing in front of her and asked her to hang out, she had just turned around and walked away. Like, that would probably have sent me into a different self-talk spiral. The third and final story I'm going to tell you today is with some of my very, very established friends. And this is kind of a repeat pattern I have. I have this tendency, this is why I talk all about small actions, because I need to hear it too. I have this tendency when I want to do something for a friend to pick something that is, I don't want to say extravagant, but it's big. Like, I want them to know how much I care, how much I think about them. It's like a grander gesture. This shows up in all sorts of ways. It could be that a friend, I mean, I'm just going to pick some random stuff now. It could be a friend graduated from grad school and they went to grad school across the country, and I want to fly across the country and I want to surprise them and I want to take them out to dinner. It's a pretty grand gesture. Or what's another one I've done? I don't know if I've talked about this in the podcast. I've talked about it in the newsletter. I had another friend who got married. I wasn't able to make it to her wedding. We had two weddings the same weekend. So my thought was, oh my gosh, okay, we'll take these friends away for like an overnight, a local staycation type thing. We'll go out to dinner and we'll do it at the time maybe where their wedding photos come back, so they can show us all the wedding photos and we can talk all about their wedding. We can tell them how excited we are for them. And then that's just a lot to coordinate and it never works out. And I am, again, like internally berating myself that things I did do aren't enough. So the most recent example, like this is real, this has just happened, is a friend of mine, some friends of ours, experienced a loss in their family. And there are many ways I've wanted to show up for these friends. And I've showed up in some of the ways. But recently, they had a big milestone date coming up around this loss. And so I had told myself, like, I'm going to put together this care package, because milestone dates, as I know very well, when it comes to grief and loss, milestone dates can really throw you for a loop. So I'm going to put together this care package and put together all these things for them to get them through this day. I mean, not that I'm going to get them through this day, but to like let them know I'm thinking of them on this day. Like some foods I know they like, maybe a nice blanket, a really thoughtful card, and I'm going to put it all together and I'm going to drop it off. I've had this plan for months. And with some of my own life stuff going on, this was probably a little bit of a grand plan when I looked at my capacity right now. We got a lot of stuff going on. And of course, because I had this grand plan, it's not like I could just, I could have, but I didn't allow myself to just order a few things like on Amazon and put them in a basket and drop it off. Like I was going to source like the right things and this and that, which is research and time and care. And it just didn't happen. It didn't happen. The day before the milestone, I started trying to scramble. And then I was like, this just isn't going to turn out. I'm not going to be able to pull this off. Because even that day, I was past capacity. And in these spaces, you know, I think it's really easy to find myself saying, again, like, I'm a bad friend. I'm not showing up. I'm not doing these things that I should be doing for the people I care the most about. But then if I take a step back and I look at this, it's like I created 9 million hoops for myself to jump through. They didn't ask for this. I created this. And sure, would they have enjoyed it? Yeah. Yep. And I could create this basket for them any other time if I want. I mean, I think that's a huge thing I've learned for myself is we have these dates and sometimes we aren't able to show up like on that date. But the impact is not that different if I did this a month from now. Sure, maybe it's 25% less impactful. I don't know how you quantify that, but a little bit, I guess. But really, it's just the thought. But of course, I had a hard deadline. I had the highest of expectations. I had all these things. Like, I did that to myself. And then when I don't meet my own expectations, I'm not kind to myself, right? I say, oh, well, I'm a bad friend, or I didn't show up, or it wasn't enough. So when I was saying that to myself last week, and I was telling myself what a bad friend I am, and I was mad at myself for not meeting all these expectations that, again, I set. I had to step away. I had to look at this situation objectively. And I had to say, like, okay, today's a milestone. And I don't want it to go unnoticed. And sure, I didn't meet this grand gesture that I laid out for myself. But what is enough? What does my friend really need today? And I decided that enough today, well, not today, but last week when I did it, enough was just a really, really thoughtful message that I didn't spend hours putting together this care basket and doing all these things, but I did spend 15 minutes writing a single text message and really trying to make sure that it hit all the things that I wanted to say to them and that I was just going to allow that to be enough for today. And if it wasn't enough, I can do the basket in a few weeks or a few months. Now, in the past, what I've done is set these big grand visions, not been able to show up, right? Not created the basket, not delivered it, and then spent months. I'm not even kidding, months. That friend's wedding example that I told you earlier, I spent months feeling guilty about that instead of just doing something little. And I could have done 5 little things. I spent months basically avoiding this friend because I felt so guilty that I hadn't played out, like I hadn't actioned this big grand gesture. So that's what it costs me when I can't objectively look at my own self-talk, be kinder to myself, allow what I'm doing to be enough, and just show up as I am. Where does this leave us, you and I? Well, I hope this is just a reminder that we're all out here the same. I'm still doing this stuff too. I'm still paying attention to my own self-talk. Sometimes I do a really good job at it, and other times I don't, and I'm just trying to notice and shift that over time. And I guess I'm just here at the microphone, hoping that you'll pay attention to your self-talk in all the places. I mean, I just listed kind of meeting someone for the first time, trying to invite someone to hang out and maybe be friends, and how I'm interacting with my established friends. But as I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, we are interacting and connecting. We have so many interactions every day. I'm sure that there are other places where I'm not being kind to myself, or maybe I am. Maybe I should notice that and give myself credit. I would love to hear what you notice about your self-talk. Send me a DM, send me a voice memo, send me an email. I think it would make us all feel a little less alone to realize how mean we're all being to ourselves in these social interactions sometimes, that we're all doing this, that even if we hide it, which I didn't do very well in my first story, or if our minds go blank, except for the rage we're throwing around in our head and we're just staring off into space with a deer in the headlights look, or we shut down. We're all not alone. We are all doing this to ourselves in some way, shape, or form. I truly don't think there's a single person out there that has perfect self-talk. And maybe if we notice it, we can start being a little kinder to ourselves. Now, I mentioned earlier in this episode that I am creating something and I don't want to give too much of it away, but it has to do with your self-talk. If you are imagining what I would tell you, if you need that third-party objective opinion, head to the link in the show notes and either sign up or check it out, depending on when you're listening to this episode, because I'm really excited to put this out there. I'm really excited to hear what you all think of it. With that, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Friendship IRL. I am so honored to have these conversations with you, but don't let the chat die here. Send me a voice message. I created a special website just to chat with you. You can find it at alexalex.chat. You can also find me on Instagram, my handle @itsalexalexander, or go ahead and leave a review wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Now, if you want to take this conversation a step further, send this episode to a friend. Tell them you found it interesting and use what we just talked about as a conversation starter the next time you and your friend hang out. No need for a teary goodbye. I'll be back with a new episode next week.